Imagine if tomorrow you could like hire a 24/7 intern who literally never sleeps. And then you go buy medical-grade hearing aids at a streetwear store. And then you just sit back and watch a nation state completely bypass the entire global banking system using, you know, a digital clone of the U.S. dollar.
Right, which sounds completely absurd, like a sci-fi movie pitch.
Exactly. It sounds like sci-fi, but that is not a pitch. Yeah. That is quite literally just a single day of tech news from August 12th, 2026.
Yeah, and we are really looking at a very specific inflection point today because for years, you know, technological breakthroughs have followed this very predictable, heavily managed timeline.
It was slow.
Right. So slow. Scientists discover something and then we all just sit around and wait years for corporate gatekeepers, regulators, distributors to finally, you know, hand it down to the public.
But then you read through the sources we have today. Mm-hmm. Specifically, we've got this massive dispatch from the Tech & Night Wednesday newsletter dated August 12th, 2026. And, I mean, that whole gatekeeper model is just completely shattered here.
It's just gone.
It really is. We are looking at a landscape that is aggressively cutting out the middlemen mm-hmm. and putting this immense boundary-breaking power directly into your hands. So welcome to today's deep dive. We are taking six massive stories across AI, cryptocurrency, gaming, consumer health, and we're distilling them all down for you.
Because our mission here is to look past the initial hype. We need to find the common thread, which is how technology is finally crossing that threshold from, you know, speculative novelty into everyday real-world utility.
Exactly.
Which requires us to look really closely at the underlying mechanisms, the why and the how behind these headlines. These aren't just isolated events.
No, not at all.
They represent a massive societal shift happening in real time, which is fundamentally rewriting who gets access to top-tier tools.
Okay, let's unpack this with the technology that will probably most immediately impact your daily work. Which is the evolution of artificial intelligence. Mm. Because on August 11th, SpaceX AI, which you know we used to know as XAI, they launched something called Grokbot.
Yeah, Grokbot.
And let's be super clear right up front. This is not just another conversational chatbot like ChatGPT or Claude.
Far from it. What we are observing here is the transition from AI that answers to AI that acts.
Right.
Grokbot is the first commercially available team of always-on AI agents. So instead of just sitting there waiting for a text prompt, it independently signs into your applications. It maintains persistent memory across different tasks, and it executes complex workflows 24/7.
It's like moving from a super smart encyclopedia that only speaks when spoken to, right? To a digital intern who works constantly, never needs coffee, and actually does the heavy lifting for you.
Exactly. You can just close your laptop, lock your phone, and this thing is still out there working in the cloud.
But wait, how is that functionally possible without compromising a company's entire security system? Like, giving an AI the keys to your app sounds terrifying.
Well, the mechanism enabling that is a highly sophisticated architecture called an isolated execution sandbox.
Okay, a sandbox.
Right. Think of it like giving every single AI agent its own biosecure laboratory. Each Grokbot gets a dedicated virtual computer with its own browser, its own file system, network stack, all of it.
So it's totally sealed off.
Exactly. If an agent gets tricked by, say, a malicious link while it's researching industry news, the infection is trapped inside that one sealed room. It literally cannot spread to the rest of your company's network.
Okay, that definitely explains the security side. But usually, like when you close a window on a standard AI, it just gets amnesia. You have to start the conversation all over again the next day.
Yeah, Grokbot solves that through this context persistence mechanism. Mm-hmm. It maintains a continuous memory graph, and that graph spans days, weeks, or even months.
Wow.
So if you tell it to monitor competitor pricing every single morning, it mathematically maps what it read yesterday against what it reads today. So it identifies genuinely new developments instead of just regurgitating outdated information at you.
That's wild.
And it even passes that memory laterally.
What do you mean laterally?
Like, if bot A spends the entire weekend doing raw data extraction, bot B can pull from that exact same memory graph on Monday morning to format a presentation.
Okay, the business backdrop to this makes perfect sense when you look at the financials. Mm-hmm. Because SpaceX had this record-breaking $75 billion IPO, and they immediately turned around and spent $60 billion of it to acquire a company called Cursor.
Yeah, that was a huge move.
$60 billion for a company founded by four MIT graduates. That is just staggering.
What's fascinating here is what that $60 billion actually bought, because Cursor wasn't just, you know, a popular code editor with 5 million active users and $800 million in annual revenue.
Right, which is impressive, not $60 billion impressive.
Exactly. Their core innovation was an agentic reasoning system. They basically crack the code on an AI that actually understands the broader context of a project.
So it's not just copy-pasting code.
No, it understands the business logic behind the code. It anticipates needs. It acts autonomously. So SpaceX essentially bought the foundational technology and that elite engineering talent required to make Grokbot understand complex corporate workflows without human handholding.
And you can really see the sheer power of this thing reflected in the pricing tiers. Like, Super Grok Heavy is $300 a month, which gets you full access to OpenAI's GPT-5 model and unlimited compute.
Right.
Then you have Cursor Ultra for professional developers at $200 a month, and Teams Premium at $120 a month per user. And competitors like OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, Microsoft, they're all rushing to build their own versions of this.
Everyone wants the AI that acts.
But I have to push back on this a little bit because it raises a massive red flag for me.
Okay, what's the flag?
If I am running a company and I can pay $300 a month for an AI intern that flawlessly handles like all the entry-level data entry, the basic research, the foundational analysis, I am never hiring a human junior employee again.
Yeah, that's the real fear.
But if human junior employees never get to do that grunt work and learn the ropes, how do they ever become senior decision makers? Like, where do the veterans come from?
That is the exact tension labor economists are grappling with right now. You are potentially removing the entire training ground for the modern knowledge worker.
Right.
Now, the optimistic view is that by automating the execution of all those repetitive tasks, human workers get to focus entirely on strategy, judgment, and creative problem solving from literally day one of their careers.
But is that realistic?
Well, the reality is much more complex. Because building intuition in any industry usually requires spending time in the weeds of the raw data.
Exactly. For you listening, I really want you to take a second and mentally audit your own workday. Like, look at what you do between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Think about how many of your repetitive tasks, pulling numbers, filling forms, checking competitor websites, how much of that could an autonomous AI agent in a biosecure virtual sandbox take over tomorrow?
It's a lot of it.
It is.
Okay.
Because this technology is tearing down the traditional corporate hierarchy as we speak.
And we are seeing that exact same theme of tearing down traditional structures in the financial sector, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because just as AI is bypassing human execution for daily tasks, cryptocurrency is finally bridging the digital and physical worlds to completely bypass traditional banking gatekeepers.
Right. Which brings us perfectly to the August 12th crypto markets.
Yeah.
Because MoneyGram just launched its ramp service on the Solana blockchain across 170 countries.
This is huge for global finance.
It really is. You can literally walk into a MoneyGram location with physical cash and in under 10 minutes convert it into a crypto stablecoin called USDC in your digital wallet. And you can do this completely without a bank account.
And the underlying infrastructure choice here is entirely about viability. They specifically chose the Solana blockchain because it can process transactions in under 1 second.
Under a second.
With fees that are typically less than a single penny. Which you have to compare to older networks like Ethereum, where a transaction might take minutes and cost upwards of $50 in gas fees during peak congestion.
Which completely destroys the point if you're like a worker trying to send $50 back home to your family.
Exactly. The fees would eat the whole transfer.
But with this Solana integration, a Filipino worker in the U.S. can receive their wages in crypto, and their family in the Philippines could just walk into a local MoneyGram and withdraw physical cash in their local currency. And the whole thing sells in minutes.
And we are seeing this institutional maturation across the broader market, too. Like, Dogecoin is actually up 3%, leading the majors.
Which is still so funny to me.
I know, but it is evolving far beyond its origins as an internet meme. T. Rowe Price, which is a massive institutional asset manager, they just added Dogecoin to their actively managed crypto ETF.
Wow.
And additionally, Paxos partnered with them to integrate Dogecoin directly into PayPal and Venmo, which opens it up to 400 million users.
That is mainstream adoption right there. But before we go further, I actually need to admit some confusion on one of the other market updates in the Dispatch. It mentions that the BNB token is remaining super strong because of its exchange utility and something called token burns. What exactly is a token burn, and how does setting something on fire make an asset stronger?
Well, it is a mechanism of mathematically enforced scarcity.
Okay.
A token burn is when the creators of a cryptocurrency intentionally send a portion of the circulating supply to an irretrievable digital address. So they are effectively destroying those coins forever.
Oh, so there are just fewer of them in existence.
Exactly. By permanently reducing the total supply of BNB, the remaining tokens inherently become more valuable, assuming demand stays the same or increases. It's basically a programmatic way to combat inflation.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. On the flip side of the market, the Dispatch notes XRP is dropping due to stablecoin competition and ongoing legal woes with the SEC. But honestly, the most significant crypto story here isn't about retail trading at all. It's happening on a nation-state level.
Yes, this is the big one.
Because on August 11th, Russia's central bank officially legalized Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Tether's USDT for organized public trading and cross-border settlements starting September 1st.
Now, we need to pause right here and make something explicitly clear to you, the listener.
Yes, very important.
We are strictly and impartially reporting the facts provided in our source material regarding Russia's new laws and their use of crypto to evade Western sanctions. We are absolutely not endorsing any geopolitical stances, actions, or policies.
Completely agreed. We are just looking at the source material.
Our goal here is purely to analyze the mechanics of how this decentralized technology is being deployed by a nation state.
Exactly. So under this new federal law, which is 282FZ, using crypto for domestic payments inside Russia remains strictly banned. You can't buy coffee with Bitcoin there. But for international trade, it is now a fully sanctioned workaround for businesses that were cut off from the SWIFT payment system.
And to understand the gravity of that, you really have to understand what SWIFT is. It is essentially the secure messaging system that global banks use to trust each other and authorize international transfers.
It's the plumbing of global finance.
Yes. So being cut off from SWIFT effectively isolates a country from traditional global trade. What Russia is doing is substituting a decentralized ledger, the blockchain, for that centralized banking messaging system.
But they aren't just letting anyone use any coin. The eligibility criteria for these approved crypto assets are incredibly strict. A token needs a market capitalization above 5 trillion rubles, which is about 61 billion U.S. dollars, and a daily trading volume above 1 trillion rubles, sustained over 2 years.
And that volume requirement is exactly why Solana and XRP were excluded from this specific Russian legislation.
Oh, okay.
Only Bitcoin, Ethereum, and USDT possess that kind of massive, sustained global liquidity.
But here's where it gets really interesting to me. Russia is doing this specifically to evade Western sanctions and to de-dollarize their economy, right? Mm-hmm. But the token they are relying on the most for trade is USDT, Tether, which is a stablecoin pegged directly one-to-one to the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, the irony is thick.
It's a massive irony. They are trying to escape the U.S. financial system by utilizing a digital clone of the U.S. dollar to grease the wheels of their international trade.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really highlights the unavoidable utility of the dollar as a global unit of account, even in these decentralized systems. But we also really must examine how this law is structured, because this is not a free market.
No, not at all.
All of these transactions must flow through central bank licensed intermediaries. There is an annual purchase limit for retail investors, and there is mandatory state surveillance of all these trades.
Which brings up a pretty pointed question. Between MoneyGram requiring full KYC, you know your customer compliance for their RAMS transactions, and Russia building strict state surveillance into their cross-border trading.
Yeah.
Hasn't cryptocurrency completely lost its original identity?
It's definitely shifted. Like, this was supposed to be a libertarian, anonymous, anti-establishment rebellion against the legacy financial system. And now it requires a government ID and is monitored by central banks.
Well, what we are observing is controlled liberalization. Governments and massive financial corporations aren't fighting cryptocurrency anymore. They are domesticating it.
Domesticating it. I like that.
They want to harness the undeniable utility of blockchain for international commerce and global remittances, but they are deliberately neutralizing the privacy and the decentralization aspects. It is no longer a rebellion. It is literally becoming the new global plumbing.
So for you listening, it's probably time to completely reframe how you view crypto. It is no longer just a volatile casino for day traders. It is rapidly becoming the integrated, highly regulated infrastructure that will basically process your cross-border payments behind the scenes.
And that concept of invisible infrastructure seamlessly replacing old gatekeepers carries us directly into our final stories, where we see this exact same phenomenon democratizing entertainment and consumer healthcare. Yes, let's look at Grand Theft Auto 6. They just officially confirmed their release date for November 19th, 2026, for PS5 and Xbox at $79.99.
It's finally happening.
Right. And this game cost a reported $2 billion to develop.
$2 billion.
Just to put that in perspective, a massive Hollywood blockbuster movie costs maybe $200 to $400 million. But the budget isn't even the most groundbreaking part here. It's the distribution strategy. Because Rockstar Games is doing an extended reveal premiere exclusively on Netflix on August 27th, before it even hits YouTube.
That is an unprecedented maneuver for a AAA gaming title. By premiering on Netflix, Rockstar is tapping into a subscriber base of over 280 million people.
It's a huge audience.
Right. Think about the last time you logged into Netflix to watch a documentary or a sitcom. You represent the exact non-traditional gaming demographic they are aggressively targeting. They are completely sidestepping the traditional gaming press and the console storefronts.
And the technical details of the game itself are just staggering. It's set in a Vice City map that is 2.5 times larger than GTA 5. It features dual protagonists with a Bonnie and Clyde dynamic. And they're utilizing the Rage 9 engine, which allows for a fully dynamic economy.
And the mathematical complexity of that dynamic economy is really what justifies the $2 billion budget.
How so?
Well, the Rage 9 engine doesn't just render graphics. It calculates socioeconomic variables in real time.
Wait, really? Like an actual simulation?
Yes. If you continuously rob businesses in a specific virtual neighborhood, the algorithm recalculates the risk in that area. Virtual insurance rates go up. Property values mathematically drop, and non-playable characters will actually pack up and move out of the area.
That is insane.
The digital world permanently remembers your actions, and it reacts structurally.
And speaking of technology sneaking into unexpected places, look at what Samsung just accomplished in the healthcare space. Because on August 11th, the FDA officially cleared the Samsung Galaxy Buds 3 Pro and 4 Pro to function as over-the-counter hearing aids for adults.
Launching in Q4 2026.
Right.
The societal implications of this are just monumental. According to the FDA, nearly 29 million American adults suffer from perceived mild to moderate hearing impairment. Yet only 16% actually use hearing aids.
16%? That's so low.
And the primary barriers are the social stigma of wearing a medical device and the prohibitive cost. Traditional prescription hearing aids run anywhere between $1,500 and $4,600 a pair, which most insurance plans simply do not cover.
But these Galaxy Buds will retail for $250 to $300. That is literally a fraction of the cost. And you don't even need to go sit in an audiologist's office to get them tuned.
No, you don't.
You just perform a 5-minute pure tone audiometry test right in the Samsung app on your phone, and it generates a personalized hearing profile for you. But I am genuinely curious about the hardware here. How does a $300 consumer earbud replicate the performance of a $4,000 medical device? The Dispatch mentions something called clinical grade beamforming. What exactly is that?
So beamforming is a really sophisticated audio signal processing technique. Instead of just, you know, turning up the volume on a single microphone like a cheap amplifier, the Galaxy Buds utilize a specific array of multiple directional microphones.
Okay.
The internal processor actually calculates the microsecond differences in when a sound wave hits each distinct microphone.
Microseconds.
Yeah. And this allows the software to create a highly focused beam of listening directed straight ahead at the person you are talking to. It amplifies those specific vocal frequencies while actively suppressing all the chaotic background noise coming from other directions.
Now, Apple definitely paved the way for this back in 2024 with the AirPods Pro 2. But Samsung bringing this FDA-cleared technology to the Android ecosystem is massive, right? Because Android accounts for roughly 70% of the global smartphone market.
Exactly. And this raises a really important question about the disintermediation of specialized experts. Just as SpaceX's Grok bot bypasses human junior researchers and MoneyGram's Solana integration bypasses traditional banking clearinghouses, Samsung is bypassing medical audiologists.
Yeah.
They are democratizing vital healthcare for millions of people who are quite literally priced out of being able to hear clearly.
So What does this all mean? To me, it's a brilliant digital Trojan horse strategy.
A Trojan horse? How do you mean?
Well, Netflix is basically sneaking into the AAA gaming industry by masquerading as a simple trailer host.
Mm.
And Samsung is sneaking metal-grade healthcare into everyday stylish streetwear.
That's a great way to look at it. If we synthesize all the disparate pieces from this August 2026 dispatch, a very clear narrative emerges. We are watching the definitive moment when these massive, once speculative technologies officially graduate.
They're all growing up.
Exactly. They are no longer isolated novelties. They are integrated, boundary-breaking infrastructures, fundamentally altering how society operates.
So I really want you to look at your phone right now, or the headphones you might literally be wearing, to listen to this deep dive. Standard consumer tech is quietly acquiring superpowers.
It really is.
From a 24/7 autonomous AI teammate that does your heavy lifting in a secure virtual sandbox to blockchain algorithms settling cash remittances across the globe in milliseconds. And from a dynamic video game economy premiering on a streaming app to FDA-cleared hearing aids disguised as normal everyday earbuds. The old gatekeepers are just gone.
We are systematically engineering friction out of our daily lives. These technologies are explicitly designed to execute flawlessly, to correct our biological deficits automatically, and to remove human error from the equation entirely.
Which leaves us with one final thought for you to chew on today. With autonomous AI executing our daily workflows with perfect logic, and blockchain algorithms mathematically securing our global money, and consumer wearables automatically correcting our biological limitations, we are rapidly engineering human error out of our existence.
Which sounds like a utopia.
It does. But if we remove all the friction, all the struggle, and all the mistakes, what happens to human serendipity? What happens to those happy, unplanned accidents that have driven human creativity, art, and innovation for centuries?
It's the ultimate paradox of this technological leap. In our relentless quest to build a perfectly efficient world without gatekeepers, we might just be locking ourselves out of the very accidents that make us uniquely human.
It's definitely something to think about the next time you marvel at a piece of technology that feels just a little too perfect. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the headlines, and we'll catch you next time.